really, the prodigal son is a story of two brothers. And for whatever reason, we have labeled it, we entitled it, The Prodigal Son. And I think that some of that might be because if you look at the context of Jesus when he begins this teaching, the whole thing that inspired this parable specifically by Jesus is that in the few verses before this, Jesus is hanging out with sinners, and the Bible says that the religious leaders and the teachers of the law were basically giving Jesus angry looks and talking about him because of the people that he hung out with, because of the sinners that he hung out with. And Jesus, in turn, shares this story of what we know as the prodigal son. But here's the thing, because we call it the prodigal son, I think it puts all of our attention and all of our focus on the younger brother who clearly was in the wrong, clearly had some issues. But the reality is this, that the parable is actually about both brothers. The parable is about two brothers. The parable of the prodigal son is about two brothers, one who thinks himself an unworthy son and the other who thinks himself a worthy slave. And the reality is this, that both brothers desperately needed an understanding of the Father's love for them. Both brothers needed to know deeply in their hearts and their soul and their minds how much the Father loved them. And I wonder if we don't call it the prodigal son, because I wonder if somewhere down the line the scribes and the people who translated this and the people who put this the word of God and Jesus' teachings into languages that we can understand, I wonder if it's not just like religion to get all of the focus off of my stuff and look at the thing that's really easy to pick on and point out as the wrong thing, and so we just call the whole thing the prodigal son instead of like the parable of the two brothers, which it really probably should be. Amen, somebody? Because I don't know how many times, I don't know, it was years into my adulthood that I read that until I read this scripture and read this story and understood this story as meaning more than just about sinners who come home. Listen, both brothers need to know the Father's love. And I think religion says, you know what, let's take the focus off of me and my underlying issues and get that off of me. And let's just look at the guy that's real obvious to pick on. Let's go after the real low-hanging fruit. And let's just label this the parable of the prodigal son so I don't ever have to look at my stuff. But we're not going to do that today. We're going to look at the whole story. We're going to look at the whole parable and get everything that Jesus is talking about. So let's talk for a moment first about the prodigal son. The prodigal ends up in this situation in his life where he feels that he is an unworthy son. He takes his father's inheritance early. He goes off to make a name for himself and to live his life. And of course, the story says that Jesus says that he squandered all of his father's wealth. He squandered every gift that his dad had given him on living whatever way he wanted to and basically wasted it all, okay? And this is why we got to be careful. Listen, if you're living wild and you're out there and you're getting after it and you're doing your own thing, listen, you might be able to get away with that for a while, but watch this, because two things combine to turn the prodigal's life into a living hell. What happened was this. Not only did he waste his father's wealth, but then a famine hit the land. So he was unwise and foolish in what he had in his hands, but then because he was unwise with what he had, when something happened that was outside of his control, it completely knocked him off path. It completely devastated his life. Amen, somebody? And it's real easy, listen, it's easy to pick on the prodigal, but so you understand how deeply away from God and how deeply away from his father the prodigal felt. You need to understand this. The Bible says that the prodigal, the only job he could get was one where he was tending pigs. And Jesus said that he even looked at the pigs and wished that he could eat the slop that the pigs ate. Now, I've seen pig slop a few times in my life, and I got to tell you, I've been hungry, but I've never been that hungry. Amen, somebody? I've been hungry a few times. I've even said that I was starving. I've never been starving once in my life, but I've felt it in the moment. You know what I mean? Like around 1 o'clock when you haven't eaten lunch yet, you had a big breakfast, but it's noon, it's past, and you haven't had, you know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm starving. I'm not starving. I could go another 3 days. Anyway, I've never been that hungry, but that's how hungry it was, how starving it was. I want you to understand this. Again, who's Jesus primarily talking to in his time on earth? Who's the people he's talking to? Anybody know? He's in Israel. He's talking to Jewish people, okay? For the Jew, the pig, according to the Old Testament Mosaic Levitical law, the pig is an unclean animal. In fact, Jewish people were not even to touch or eat or go near pork. Thank God Jesus set us free from that. Man, I had some bacon just yesterday. It was wonderful. Oh, so delicious. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? But in this time, you couldn't go near it. Couldn't touch it, okay? I mean, I don't know what I'd do with my life. A big part of my life is spent cooking ribs. I don't know what I would do if it was still the way it was. Whew, thank you, Lord. Amen. Eric, come back up. Let's worship for another. I'm just kidding. But at this time, pork is unclean. You can't go near it. Can't touch it. So I want you to see this. For this Jewish son to now be living amongst the pigs, and he's making a living by taking care of, tending, touching, and being around what is considered an unclean animal for his whole livelihood, guess what? That makes everything about the prodigal unclean. So in his mind, he's messed up. He knows he's jacked his life up. He knows he's messed his life up. And now in his mind, he is a totally unworthy son. He is not. In fact, he says to himself, I am not worthy to be called my father's son anymore. I have messed up so bad. I've broken all the rules. I've broken all the laws. I've went against everything that my father taught me, and I've wasted everything my father gave me. And this is my plight. This is where I am. And some of you may have been in some situations in that life, in your life before. Some of you may even be in a season like that in your life right now where, man, you've run away, you've done your own thing, and, man, life hasn't worked out, and you think, man, I don't know if I can ever get back. And then there's this moment in the story that Jesus said the prodigal comes to his senses, and he reasons in his mind. He says, man, even in my father's house, the servants, the slaves, have more than enough to eat. And then this is what he says. I don't want you to miss this. The Bible says the prodigal says this. He says, I will return home to my father. And don't miss this. Because I want you to notice that he does not say, I will return home to my hometown, Bethlehem, Jerusalem. He doesn't say, I will return home to Brookville or Metamora or Cincinnati. He doesn't say, I will return home to my house, to my dad's house, to where my mom and dad live. You want to go knock on their door sometime. He doesn't say, listen, I want you to notice this. You're welcome. He doesn't say, I'm going to go, listen. He doesn't say, I'm going to return home to a location. He says, I'm going to return home to a person. He comes to his senses and says, I'm going home to my father. Home isn't a place. Listen, home is a person. Amen, somebody? In between the time that I graduated high school and I returned and went to Bible college, in between, I think it was just a few months after I graduated high school and went to Bible college, in between that time, my mom and dad moved houses. We used to live right over here on Franklin Avenue, and then they moved to the address I just gave you. I don't know what's wrong with me today. They moved. Listen. They moved, and I came home for a visit, a weekend visit, a holiday or something. But it was a different house than the one that I remembered and had in my mind as home when I left. But can I tell you something? The moment I went to that other house, guess where I was? I was home. Why? Because home wasn't about the house. Home was about where my parents were. Amen, somebody? Listen, and this is what you need to understand. When you say, man, I want to get home. If you're in a place where you're like, man, I need to return home, I want you to understand something. Don't miss this. Returning home is not about going to a place. It is not about going to a building. It is not about going to a city. It is about going home to a person. And friend, your home is where your Father is. Wherever God is, that's your home. Wherever God shows up, that's where you need to return to. When I say I'm coming home not to a church building, not even to a church specifically, but we are coming home to our Father. Amen, somebody? And we say at Red Life Church, listen, we take this real seriously. Literally, it's part of our mission. It's part of what God has called us to be. The reason we say to come home to a place of freedom and encouragement, and the reason that's part of our DNA and a part of our culture here is this. Listen, every prodigal needs a home to return to. Amen, amen somebody? Every person that's away from Jesus needs a home to return to. Every person that's messed their life up and jacked their life up and is living amongst the pigs and the slop and wishing they could have even just a little bit of what even the dirtiest, filthiest person has that they can't get their hands on. That's how jacked up they feel. Every single one of those people need a home to return to. And God has called Red Life Church, God has called us as the family of God to be that welcoming home for them. Amen, somebody? Every prodigal needs a home to return to, because home isn't a place. Home is a person. We know about the prodigal son. Let's for a moment talk about the other brother in this story. The prodigal had messed his life up, and in his mind he had reasoned, I am no longer a worthy son. The brother had been living faithfully and doing everything obediently that his father had asked him to do. But somewhere in all of that working, somewhere in all of that doing, somewhere in all of him following the rules and doing everything he was supposed to do and not living like his brother, while the prodigal became an unworthy son, the brother was living like a worthy slave. And you say, well, how do you get there? How do you understand that? Well, here's, the Bible says when he comes home from working in the field, and he hears the music and he hears the party that the father is putting on in celebration of his son's return. When his father comes to talk to him, what's he say? He says, I've worked for you all these years and you've never even given me a goat to come and have a party with my friend. That tells me that somewhere in his mind, the brother was thinking, if I just work hard enough, dad's going to notice. If I just keep following all the rules, eventually my father's going to bless me. If I just keep doing everything I'm supposed to do, if I just keep working real hard and being real good and producing year after year, eventually daddy's going to notice and dad's going to give me something. I mean, man, he gave my idiot young kid brother everything and he wasted it all. Man, eventually if I just work hard enough and do good enough and follow the rules, dad's going to give me something. And so when he sees his father giving the reward that he knew that he had earned to his younger son who didn't deserve it at all, that slave mentality kicked in. He said, wait a minute, I'm a worthy slave. I've been working for you all these years. Where's my party? Where's my robe? Where's my fattened calf? Where's my ring? Where's my moment? Where's my pat on the back? Where's my good job, son? Where's my reward? And he had this worker mentality, this if I'm just good enough mentality. But his father had to check him. And his father says, son, you've been with me the whole time. Everything that I have is yours. If you wanted a party, you could have had a party. All you had to do was ask. If you wanted a goat, you could have had a goat. If you wanted a ring, I would have given it. All you had to do was ask. He's saying, son, are you forgetting? This is what he's saying. He's saying, son, you're forgetting. You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You're not a hired hand. You are my blood. You are my son. And everything that's in this house belongs to you as well. It's available to you as well. Listen to me close. Listen. In living like a slave who's trying to earn his living and trying to earn his way and trying to work his way into reward, somewhere the older brother forgot that he was the son the whole time. And I want to remind some of us this morning, and I need this reminder for myself, time after time. In fact, I need it more and more sometimes the longer that we serve God, the longer that we're in the kingdom, the longer that we're doing. Listen to me. We got to remember this. Listen. Because if this feels like you, if this feels like you sometimes, I want you to have this reminder. Don't forget this. Don't miss this. Stop trying to earn a reward that you've already been given. Son and daughter of God, child of the King, who Jesus has shed his blood and died for and rose from the dead for. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. Don't miss this. Stop trying to earn a reward that the Father has already given you. I don't have to work my way into the blessings of God. Jesus has already paid the price for me to receive the blessing of God. Amen, somebody? I don't have to earn my way into a reward. Jesus has already paid the price for me to have everything that is available through the Word of God, everything that God's Word says is available in the kingdom. It is available for the sons and the daughters. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to work like a slave anymore. I'm going to be a son. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to spend my life just hoping that God, if I can just, God, don't, God, see what I did? I came to church this morning. Him. See me, notice me. God, I gave today. See me, look what I did. God, I haven't cussed anybody out this week on the road. See, look how good I'm doing. God, I read my Bible 6 days this week, and then I went to church on Sunday. See what I'm doing. Listen, all those things are good things. All those things are great things. All those things are disciplines we should have as we step in faith and live in faith towards God. But none of those things earn you anything. God is not, our Father in heaven is not, has not set up the kingdom to work like some kind of weird bartering system. God has not given us a transactional faith that says if I do A, God will do B and I will get C, and that's how this works. No, friend. None of it makes any sense. I know this offends our sense of justice. I know this story offends my sense of fairness. I find myself siding with the older brother if I let myself just think it all out and what makes sense. The brother is absolutely right in our natural mind. He has every right to be upset. I mean, what are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. But thank God that sometimes God does some stuff that doesn't make sense. Because I tell you what, I might be the brother now, but I sure as heck was a prodigal at some point in my life. Thank God that God did some stuff and gave me some stuff and blessed me with some stuff that I didn't earn and I didn't work for and that I didn't deserve. Because if it wasn't the case, then I wouldn't be here today. Some of you are there as well. Amen, somebody? So we got to be real careful. That when we move from being a prodigal and we become a son again and we return home to the Father, that we don't allow the attitude of the older brother to creep in our life. We got to make sure, listen, that we don't get bitter. Watch this now. We got to make sure we don't get bitter that no one celebrated us for doing what we were supposed to be doing all along. Amen, somebody? Well, nobody threw me a party. Why do you get a party for doing what you should have done? Amen? Come on, somebody. Don't get bitter because you feel like your time's not coming, you're not getting recognized. Listen, we're doing for doing the stuff that we're supposed to be doing. Now, here's where we got to ask ourselves this. This is where I want to ask you to think about this. Listen, who are you in this story? Some of you home, some of you in this building, right now you're thinking, man, I really identify with the prodigal, man. I'm away from God. I'm away from Jesus. I know I'm living in a mess right now. In fact, you know what? Listen, You might be a prodigal, and on the outside, everything looks good. Everything looks fine. You're paying your bills. Man, you're living a good life. You know what I mean? Everything looks fine on the outside. But on the inside, your heart, you know you can be as far away from God as you possibly can be. And on the inside, you feel just like something is identifying with you with the prodigal. You might be identifying with the older brother. You might be saying, man, I've been in this thing a long time. I've been doing the right thing for a long time. I've been serving God for a long time. I've been following Jesus for a long time. I've been at church for a long time. I've been serving for a long time. I've been doing all this stuff. And man, where's my time? Where's my season? Where's my moment? Why are we celebrating? Why are we spending all this time and energy trying to find new people and win souls and doing all that? Where's my phone call? Where's my prayer time? Where's all this for me? Listen. Well, no matter, let me just be real honest with you. You might say, well, I'm one or the other. I feel one or the other right now this season. Let me just be honest with you, man. I've been both at times in my life. Amen? And I don't mean like different seasons. I mean like there might be a Monday I'm feeling like a prodigal. There's been a Tuesday I'm feeling like the older brother. Amen? By Thursday, I'm feeling like a prodigal again. By Saturday, I'm feeling like the older brother. And by Sunday, I'm all kinds of, you understand? Come on, somebody. If I'm real honest about this story, I'm both. I've been both the prodigal and I've been both the older brother. I've been far from Jesus, feeling like, man, I was never worthy to be called a son again. And I've been an older brother, bitter that other people were getting blessings that I feel like I deserved and that I earned and that I worked for and that I was a good guy for and all those other things. Friend, if I'm honest, I'm both. And here's what we need to know about whether you're the older brother or you're the prodigal or some kind of combination of both or somewhere in between. I want you to watch this. The Father goes after both the prodigal and the older brother and welcomes them into the house. The Bible says when the prodigal was on his way home, the father saw him from a long way off and ran to meet him and brought him into the house and threw the party. And then when the father heard that the older brother was upset and refused to come into the party, the Bible says the father left the party, went out to the older brother and begged him to come in. I don't know about you, but man, I am so, so unbelievably thankful in my life that God the Father comes after me, whether I'm the brother or the son, whether I'm the prodigal or the bitter brother, the Father comes after me. Friend, I am so thankful that the Father always comes after his sons. Amen, somebody. I'm so grateful that when I was a bitter older, that when I'm a bitter older brother, giving everybody a side eye and feeling sorry for myself and feeling real self-righteous, I'm so glad the Father comes and says, hey, quit acting like a slave. Quit acting like a hired hand. You're a son. And I'm so thankful that when I've messed up and screwed up and jacked things up because I thought I knew a better way than God did, and it always ends up the same. Always ends up in a pig pen when I do that. And I'm so thankful that when I come to my senses and say, man, I got to go back to my Father. I don't know what happened. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got away from home, but I got to go home. I'm so thankful that when I come to my senses and start to make my way home, the Father sees me from a long way off and brings me the rest of the way. The Father always comes after his sons. Why? Because the Father wants his sons with him at home. Amen, somebody? Stand all over this place this morning. Whether you're in this building, you're online this morning, you're going to be watching this sometime through the week, or listening through audio, I don't care what the medium is, but this word is getting to you this morning, or whenever it is. I want you to know two things. Number one, if you're that prodigal right now, if you've made choices and made decisions that took you farther away and took you out of God's house and took you away from your father's house. I want you to listen to me. Prodigal, listen to me. Prodigal, your life is not out of reach. I don't care how far, I don't care how dirty, I don't care how deep the slop is that you're sitting in right now, I don't care how jacked up the mess is that living that prodigal life and being away from the Father's house has brought into your life. I don't care how many problems, I don't care how messy, I don't care how dirty, I don't care how nuanced, I don't care how complicated or whatever other descriptor, adjective you want to use, I want you to know something. You are not out of reach of your Father, and all you need to do is decide right now in this moment, I'm returning home to my Father. And if you're in this place, if you're somewhere else outside of this building today and you're away from your Father, you're away from Jesus, you're away from a relationship with God, I want you to know no matter how far away you are not so far that you are out of reach. And right now in this moment, you can decide to come to your senses. In fact, right now, the Holy Spirit might be working in someone and you got light bulbs going off in your spirit. You know what that is? That you coming to your senses going, man, what am I doing? What am I doing here? What am I doing in this? What am I doing in this pen, this pig pen? What am I doing in this mess? I need to come home to my Father. And if that's the realization you're having right now, in just a few moments, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to pray, and we're gonna make a decision and respond and say, yes, I'm coming home to my Father. Before we do that, I want to talk to some older brothers, some older sisters. Listen. I want to remind you, though, too. Prodigal, your life isn't out of reach. Listen to me. Brother, sister, listen to me now. Your reward isn't waiting on your work. Your reward isn't waiting on your work. Jesus has already paid the price for you to receive everything that's in the Father's house. It belongs to you. It's available to you. So stop living like you have to earn it and start trusting and believing in the Word of God and asking God to give you what He's already promised is there and believing for that. Amen, somebody? Prodigal, your life isn't out of reach. Brother, your reward isn't waiting on your work. Everything that the Father has is available to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed right now all over this room. If you're in your car, well, maybe not your car, but if you're in your living room, your kitchen table, wherever you are, if you can, just take a moment. Maybe close your eyes just to block out distraction, just to focus between you and the Lord. If you're in this place right now and you're away from Jesus, you're in this place right now, you're away from God, you do not know God, you do not have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe at one time you did, but you've been that prodigal. You've walked away, you ran away, you went far away from home. Or maybe you've never known the love of God the Father and never had a relationship with Jesus. Wherever you are, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts right now, saying, come home, come home. Come home to your Father. Come home to your Father right now. If that's where you are, you say, well, listen, I feel something, but I don't know. I got a lot of questions. That's okay. We all have questions. Welcome to the club. I've been in the Father's house now for a lot of years. Not as long as some of you, a lot more than a lot of you as well. I still got questions. But I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to let the fact that I still have a few questions and there's some things I haven't figured out, I'm not going to let my questions keep me from what God has declared is mine. Amen? And listen, I'm not going to take a whole lot. I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand if you say, yes, I need to return home. Yes, I want to come home to the Father this morning. I am going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment just as a way to respond and say yes. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. The only public response I'm going to ask you today is to say yes. If you're online, I'm going to ask you just to drop a raised hand emoji or just say yes, I'm praying that prayer. And then for everyone online or in this building, I want you to go to redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle it says, are you saying yes to Jesus? Right in the middle of the homepage, there's a link right there. There's a video you can watch that will help answer some questions you might have. Explain things in a little more detail than we have time here to do this morning. If you want to talk face to face, we can do that in just a moment after we're done praying. But listen, here's the thing I want you to do right now. This is what I want to get across. If you sense the Holy Spirit saying, come home. If you sense some of your sins saying, yes, I need to come to faith in Christ. Yes, I need to come home to my Father. Listen, listen, don't miss this moment to respond. Respond now, and let's work out the kinks and the details later. Because this might be your moment to respond. This might be your moment that has been written and destined in heaven to respond to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, listen, my friend, He's going to say yes to you. He's going to say yes to you. Every head bowed, every closed, that's where you are today. See, man, I need to come home. I need to return home to my Father this morning. Will you just right now raise your hand all over this room? That's where you are this morning. Amen. I don't see any hands up in the building. We're going to pray anyway for those that may be online or watching this later. We're going to do that. I'm going to lead you in prayer. In fact, let's everyone say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Help me to follow you from this moment on, every day of my life. In Jesus' name, my life is yours. I'm your son. You're my father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if we're all older brothers in this room this morning, let's do whatever we can over the next week, over the next few days, to go find some prodigals and let them know you can still come home to your Father's house. Amen, somebody? Let's make that a point. This is what I want to pray for us. One final prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. I want to pray that every prodigal and every brother will know the immeasurable depths of the Father's love today. How many want to know that? How many want to know that this morning? Raise your hand all over this room. Come on, let's lift your hands right now. Just receive this. Lord, I pray right now, wherever we are, God, whether we're a prodigal, whether we're a brother, God, whatever season we find ourselves in, Lord, whatever we feel like right now, whatever we're identifying with right now, whatever is speaking to us right now, Lord, I pray that in every level of that in between and all around, all the nuanced versions, Lord, I pray that we will all know the overwhelming, unbelievable, undeniable, never fading, never ending, and immeasurable love of a Father that always comes after His sons and His daughters. In Jesus' precious name, let that overwhelming love overwhelm each and every one of our souls and our hearts today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Keep your hands up, stretch them this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, let's worship for just a moment. These altars are open. If you need prayer, want to seek the Lord today.